All right, folks, welcome back to episode 15 of A History of Change podcast. In this episode, we're going to cover chapter 15 from the book, Ireland's Struggle for Independence Through the Years of 1916 to 1923. And specifically, this episode of the podcast is going to cover the course of events that occur over one of the most pivotal events in Irish history, the 1916 Easter Rising. Now, despite the initial setbacks that the military council had in the days leading up to the 1916 Rising, such as Owen McNeill finding out the Castle document was a forgery, D. Odd and Roger Caseman captured in Tralee Bay in County Kerry, the military council decided to go ahead with the Rising on Easter Monday, 24th of April 1916, a day delayed from its initial supposed starting point. And as a result of the short notice and the confusion following McNeill's orders for the Irish volunteers, only Dublin-based volunteers gathered for the Rising on Easter Monday. Now, the Rising was mostly confined to the capital, Dublin. The timing coincided with a bank holiday, which played to the rebels' advantage as a number of the British soldiers in Dublin was at its lowest. And it's estimated that approximately 400 British soldiers were rostered for duty in Dublin on Easter Monday. So approximately 1,500 volunteers and 220 members of the Irish Citizen Army, or the ICA, including 28 women, assembled at Liberty Hall in Dublin city centre. From there, they marched to occupy key buildings in the city, strategic locations such as the General's Post Office, or the GPO, Jacob's Biscuit Factory, the Four Courts and Boland's Mills were seized by the rebels to establish defensive positions against the British forces. The GPO, which would become the rebels' headquarters, was occupied by prominent leaders such as Patrick Pearse and James Connolly. And one of the most symbolic events of the Easter Rising was Padraic Pearse's reading of the Proclamation of the Irish Republic in front of the GPO, which signified the start of the Rising. The proclamation declared Ireland's independence from the United Kingdom, emphasising the establishment of an Irish Republic. And this moment marked a definitive statement of the rebels' intent and their ideas, aiming to increase popularity for the national movement in Ireland and to push for independence. So Britain acted swiftly to suppress the rebellion in Dublin. Soldiers were mobilised from the Curragh Barracks in Kildare, and soldiers were also transported through Dunleary Harbour directly to Dublin city centre from the British mainland. And this strategic move ensured that the British forces could rapidly confront the rebels. So by Tuesday, just a day after the Rising had begun, the number of British soldiers significantly outnumbered Irish rebels in the city centre, and it's estimated that by Tuesday, approximately 5,000 British soldiers were in the city centre fighting the roughly 1,000 Irish rebels that took part in the Rising. And this overwhelming presence underscored Britain's determination to quell the rebellion at any cost. And one of the most dramatic responses from the British was the deployment of the gunboat Helga, which sailed up the River Liffey. Now, the Helga was used to shell Liberty Hall, indicating the severity with which the British government sought to end the Rising. And throughout the week, the British army systematically regained control of Dublin. However, it was the city centre that bore the brunt of the conflict, with many buildings ending up in ruins in Dublin. The destruction was accompanied by large-scale looting across the city, which just kind of symbolises or shows the chaos that broke out in Ireland's capital during the week of the rebellion. But by Friday, it was evident that the rebels had been defeated. Padraic Pearse, realising that there was no need to continue, more people would just die as the chaos continued in the city centre, sent Nurse Elizabeth Farrell as a messenger to the British to communicate the Irish rebels' surrender, marking a very sombre end to the rebellion. Now, if we look to draw conclusions around why the Easter Rising failed, there's four main reasons why it failed. Firstly, the Irish rebels lacked the weapons and ammunition that was going to be needed to beat the British. The capture of the Odd and the arrest of Roger Casement severely limited the firepower that the rebels had. Secondly, there was confusion around the participation of the rebellion. The Castle document and Owen McNeill's cancellation notice led many Irish volunteers to withdraw, leaving a smaller group of Irish rebels to fight the British. Thirdly, just the strength of the British military contributed to the failure of the Rising. Reinforcements from the Curra and Dunleary were quickly mobilised and the rebels were quickly overwhelmed, outnumbered and outgunned by the British. And finally, the rebels made poor tactical choices. The decision made to occupy fixed positions like the GPO instead of using guerrilla tactics made the rebels easy targets, allowing the British to surround them and to bombard them, essentially. And what's important to understand or to make note of here is that the rebels won't make that mistake again in the Irish War of Independence, where they will learn from their lessons, they will learn from their defeat in the Easter Rising, and we'll see the rebels adopt a guerrilla approach to fighting the British in Ireland during the War of Independence that would prove to be way more successful and have a greater impact on their ability to fight the British in Ireland. Okay, folks, we're going to leave it there. That's the course of events that occurred over the Easter Rising. And one kind of task for you to complete from this podcast is to go and look at the consequences of the Rising for the people in Ireland and the political landscape in Ireland after this point as well.